Grace, mercy, and peace be
to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. That's what brings us here again this morning. Life is filled with all sorts of important things. Things that are necessary for us to know as we live our lives on this side of heaven. Some of those things take priority. They're of first importance. For instance, you begin a new job in a factory setting. And what's the first thing they share with you? They go through all their safety procedures, don't they? And if you're going to be working on a machine and be there, that's the machine you work at, what's one of the first things they show you? The emergency shutoff switch. In case something would happen, the first thing you do is you've got to hit that button and shut down the machine. Yes, they go through all those safety procedures before they show you actually how to do some of the labors on that machine. Our parents, as you were raising your children, and as some of you are still raising your children, you too impart important warnings to your children. When it starts out as very young children, one of the first things you say is what? Stranger danger, right? To be aware of strangers around you and to be aware that some of them might want to bring danger into their lives. But then as they grow older, you try and advise them of some of the choices they make in life, whether it be some of the friends that they make. And even as they grow older, what they should look for in the choice of a spouse, what type of individual they're looking for. And then even later, as you send them off to college, you give them some instructions, don't you? Reminders of things they should remember, those things of first importance. But for all the things you share with them and remind them are important, have you reminded them of the most important? The thing of first importance that the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians about this morning. He considers those Corinthian believers his children, as the Apostle Paul came to them with the message of the gospel. And even in our second reading for this morning, he considers them brothers, brothers and sisters of the faith. And so as he begins this beautiful resurrection chapter, if you'd read through the whole chapter, he shares again the beauty of our Savior's resurrection and what it means for us. But as he begins this chapter, he says, I would remind you, just as parents oftentimes remind their children of the important things in life. So he says, I remind you of the gospel I preach to you, that gospel which you received, that gospel on which you stand, on which their faith was based, and that very message of the gospel by which they were being saved. If they would hold fast to that saving word of the gospel. But he says, unless it's all been in vain, is it meaningless? Or do you really believe that gospel? Do you really stand on it? Have you received it and believed in it? And have you taken your stand? Yes, he says, I remind you of that thing which is of first importance that I delivered to you, that which Paul had received from his Savior Jesus. The things of first importance, that first of all, Christ died for our sins. We remember that just a couple days ago as we gathered here on Good Friday, that Jesus suffered the cruelty of Pilate's soldiers, beaten and scourged, and then as he was crucified, nailed to that cross outside of Jerusalem to pay that debt for our sins. The sinless Lamb of God who was slaughtered so that we, the guilty, might be declared innocent as he, the innocent, was declared guilty for our sake. That he died to pay once and for all of our sins, even those that we try to hide from God and from ourselves. Yes, he died. But then he was buried. Joseph of Arimathea had asked for his body. And even Nicodemus, a believer, had come to Jesus under the cover of darkness. They took his body and quickly put 75 pounds of spices with it and hastily wrapped it and placed it in that borrowed tomb and rolled a stone in front of it. He was buried just like any other person who dies. But then he was raised on that third day. The women came early that first Easter morning, bringing more spices to finish that burial task. They wanted to properly anoint Jesus' body and wrap it properly before it had been done in haste on that Friday evening. They wanted to do it properly. But as they were coming to the tomb, they wondered, how are we going to get that stone away? We're women, we don't have the strength. And that was a large stone. Who's going to roll it away for us? But as they looked, the stone had already been rolled back. And as they entered his tomb, Jesus wasn't there. No, there was an angel there who said, I know you're seeking Jesus of Nazareth who was dead, but he's alive. He's risen from the dead. Go to Galilee where he told you to go, and he will meet you there. And then Paul shares that, yes, Jesus was alive, that he appeared not just to the 12, not just to the women, but he appeared even to 500 or more other believers to prove that he was alive. He was not just some myth, some vision, but he truly was alive. And Paul says, that's the message I preach to you. That's the message you have believed in. And he reminds them, that's the message of first importance. All the other things we learn in life, whether instructions in the factory or instructions that our parents gave us, the thing that is of first importance, the thing that will matter on the day of our deathbed, will be to know that Christ died for my sins, that he was buried in a grave just as I am going to be buried, but that he was raised on that third morning. And because he lives, I too shall live one day with him in the joys of heaven. That's what our faith is based on. A faith that is not in vain, but a faith that gives us confidence to face every day and what it might bring to us. Yes, our faith may be under attack. The Satan would like to destroy that trust we have in our Savior. There are outside influences in the world that will continue to attack our faith. A story that comes out of Russia from years ago. We probably don't remember his name, but Nikolai Ivanovich Bukharin. During his days, he was one of the most powerful men that was here on earth. He was a Russian communist leader that took part in the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. He was editor of the Soviet newspaper Pravda, which, by the way, means truth. And he was a full member of the Politburo. His works on economics and political science are still read today. But there's a story told about a journey that Bukharin took from Moscow to Kiev in the year 1930 to address a huge assembly on the subject of atheism. In addressing the crowd, he aimed his heavy artillery at Christianity, hurling insult, argument, and all sorts of proofs against it. An hour later, he had finished his remarks. He looked out at what seemed to be a smoldering ashes of men's faith. "Are there any questions?" he demanded. Deafening silence filled the auditorium. And then one man approached the platform, mounted the lectern, standing near the communist leader. He surveyed the crowd first to the left and then to the right. And finally he shouted that ancient greeting well known in the Russian Orthodox Church. "Christ is risen!" And en masse the crowd arose as one man, and the response came crashing like the sound of thunder. "He is risen indeed!" Yes, he tried to destroy their faith, but their confidence was still there. Christ is risen indeed. The world may attack our faith in our risen Savior, but like Paul reminds us, You know that gospel that was preached to you, that gospel on which you stand and by which you are being saved, and your faith is not in vain. For our Savior lives, and we live for Him, and one day we will live with Him and partake of that wonderful banquet that Isaiah writes of, that heavenly banquet where we will never hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be there to shepherd us and care for us. Yes, hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Now may that peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.